Hey, Adam Smolcom here, lead pastor of Vive Church. Welcome to our podcast. I pray that God will speak to you through the message today and that a greater level of faith would be unlocked in your life. God bless. As I mentioned, today we are starting our vision series somewhat abruptly and unexpectedly. Now, if you're new to Vive Church, let me inform you that it's abrupt because generally we hold our vision series in November each year and we combine it with a vision gala and we like to kind of keep the vision focus for the year somewhat elusive. You know, I like a little bit of mystery around my life. I tell that Kira all the time, am I still mysterious? And trying to keep a little bit of mystery in our marriage, I like to keep a little bit of mystery around the vision element, like to surprise you, build the faith, and get you in a place where at a vision gala, I can surprise you with what God's calling us to and give you a moment to respond. However, this year, we're doing things differently. We're doing things differently for a reason. In fact, today I'm going to reveal to you our next vision focus as a global community. I'm not going to wait until November. I'm going to reveal it to you today. So you found yourself in church on a great Sunday. I don't know if you came today for the announcement or if you just came accidentally and now you've got an announcement. Good for you. That's like finding yourself in the right VIP line. I don't know how I got here, but we're going in. But I am glad that you're with us and I'm glad that you're here today. So I'm not going to be elusive about this. I'm not going to be mysterious about this. I'm going to be plain, blunt, and straightforward. Present to you what God is putting before us as a global community. A vision focus that will actually begin today as well and run simultaneously with the completion of our current vision that we have been kind of carrying for the last year, the one we announced last November, and we're completing some of those amazing vision elements. In fact, on August 7, we're going to be launching Help Online, our Help Online Suicide Prevention Helpline and Prayer Line and Care Line. We've got projects like Hope Truck and all these amazing things that God is still doing in the background of our church as we prepare to fulfill and complete the vision. But we're overlapping today. It's vision on vision. Extra vision. Someone this morning called it Supervision Sunday. I'm down for some supervision, some superhero X-ray vision to see beyond what the natural shows, to see into the supernatural realm, to see that we can't afford to allow our vision to be limited by what we see in the natural. We've got to allow our vision to go beyond the natural, to see by faith. That's what supervision is. It's an unnatural vision. It's a supernatural vision. And so I want to share with you an exciting opportunity I believe that God is cultivating specifically for Vive and for this next season of our church. In fact, in just 4 Sundays' time, we'll be celebrating our 9th birthday as a church. 9 years old. 9 years. We're growing up. 9 years old as a church. 9 years of seeing God move in amazing ways. 9 years of stretching by faith and moving by faith, planning campuses and ministries, building the kingdom and establishing the church for 9 years. Actually, maybe you've only just been coming to Vive for a little while. Spoke to somebody who asked if they get extra credit because they joined the church during a pandemic. I said, yes, but that's up to God. I'm not giving out robes. I'm not giving out crowns. God does that sort of stuff. So take it to him. But 9 years, and maybe you don't know this if you're new to Vive Church, but 9 years ago, we established a church. In fact, it was this very street that we drove down, my wife and I and our 3 daughters, 9 years ago, with a vision that God was going to do something in the Bay Area, that God was going to do something strategic, that God was going to launch something in the Bay Area that was going to have a global effect. And now where we're at 9 years, you go, yeah, of course. But then it was just us 5 in a car, hoping and dreaming and leaning into God. And just across the road in an upper room is where we started the church 9 years ago. We saw God move pretty miraculously as people started to show up because of the faith in the atmosphere. Began to challenge, began to entice, began to excite people to what's possible with God. Out of that atmosphere of faith, you might not know this, but we launched a 5x5 vision. This crazy vision to launch one campus every year for 5 years. That's where San Jose came from. We just sent people and we sent money and we said, let's plant a campus in San Jose. And from there, we launched San Francisco. Welcome, San Francisco, watching online. We stretched out into Oakland, who I like to call Oak Town because it is the town, Oak Town. And then we went global. We launched in Rome, Italy. That's a whole nother sermon and a whole nother day. Go to Discover Course. Maybe they'll help you. But from there, we found ourselves so inspired by the impossible, so inspired by the fact that what was impossible to us was completely possible with God. What was so ridiculous to us was so possible with a God who fills the gap. When we are presented by faith, we see a gap. And yet the gap is not meant to intimidate us. The unknown is not meant to intimidate us. The unknown is meant to inspire us. That God is the one who fills the gap by faith. Faith is not just a thought. The Bible says faith is a substance. Same way as this stage is made of some substances. I don't know what the substances are, what makes the wood substance and the nail substance, all the substances that come together that's supporting me on this stage. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, not yet, they will be seen at some point in your life. But that doesn't mean because you don't see it, it's nothing, no less of a substance that you can support your life upon and begin to walk out on by faith. Faith is a substance. We got so inspired by the faithfulness of God, by our faith stretch, though we dared God a little bit. We kind of thought, let's try and see how far this miraculous power of heaven goes. If God can do 5 by 5, I wonder if he can do 5 in 1. Because surely it's not a time thing. We need time. God doesn't. In fact, the Bible says that his promises are yes and amen. They've already been done. We're the ones who need time to get on board with what God wants to do, get our mind wrapped around the grandeur of God. And so in provoking God, we tried. What would it look like to do 5 campuses in 1 year? So in 1 year, we trained and ordained and we sent out pastors to Morgan Hill, Chicago, Austin, Honolulu, and Milan. And now as we stand on the precipice of a decade done, looking into what the next decade holds, I truly believe that God is positioning Vive Church so strategically as a critical component to revival across the world, as a key component. Not just a subsidiary, not just an external element, not just a sideline like spectator to the things of God, but a strategic part of the move of God. A critical component. A critical component means it's a component that's needed. Like in your car, the engine is a critical component to your car. That's what I believe God is moving our church into in revival in these new days, in these new seasons that are ahead of us. So with that knowledge, I'm excited to share with you the incredible opportunity that God is presenting us with. But before I do that, I need to illuminate something from this passage in Isaiah, you see. Oh, you don't like the Bible? I thought we were a church. I thought we loved the Word of God. I thought we want to lean into the Word and we want to draw from the Word. We want God to nourish our life and increase our faith from the very Word of God. What we got in Isaiah is a passage of scripture that I have been honestly wanting to preach really for several years, but I haven't felt the permission up until now. However, this last week, I got the green light from God to unleash this on you. And even though you probably, you know this verse and maybe are well aware of this verse, it's certainly one of the well-known ones in the Bible used in many different settings, many different sermons. If you ever grew up in a church, you probably heard a sermon on this passage. However, I'm pretty sure I'm going to show you something you haven't seen before. And for context, this prophecy from Isaiah is A prophetic word from God delivered through the prophet to the people of God when the people of God were but a small nation. Just a small nation, no home to call their own, a nation that had been called out and crafted by God, who had opposition and experienced obscurity. And at the right time, the word of God came to the people of God to remind them of God's plans for the people of God. That they were not called to be a small nation, but they were called to be a mighty nation. That God had big vision, that God had big plans, and out of that small group of people were going to come some pretty big things. And this was because God knew that the people of God sometimes need reminding of who God sees them to be. Not what you see yourself as now, but what I am making from within you, what I am crafting by His hand and His purpose and what He is calling you into as His people. And if you come from a church background, you might have heard this in a sermon or two. These first three phrases are pretty familiar. It says, enlarge your house, build an addition, and spread out your home. However, I want to suggest that it's this last phrase that holds significant emphasis for us today because it says, and spare no expense. You see, this sentence emphasizes the level of expectation we should carry when approaching the purpose of God and the plans of God for our life. Because the first part of this verse, it's instructional. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home. However, while that's instructional, the last phrase is expectational. Spare no expense. Now, when God showed me this, I knew instantly this was going to be the theme of this season because it ultimately reveals the kind of attitude and the kind of faith that we need when approaching the purpose of God. It speaks about a fervency and a ferocity to the way you should pursue God. There should be a spare no expense in my pursuit of God and His purpose, that I should not be considering what do I keep in reserve in case this doesn't work out. It has this, no, I'm going all in for you, God. I'm chasing you with an expectation that you've got, your word is true and that you're able to perform everything that you speak. It reveals the way God works and what He asks of us. So not just enlarge in part, so not just build a bit or even spread out some, but to hold nothing back. Whether it's stretching in vision or stepping into your calling, God is always looking for full surrender and complete commitment. I have to tell you, it's amazing what God can do with a life fully surrendered. I remember when God called us to plant a church. We were leaning in. In fact, this question I get more than any other question in most settings I go into is, how do you hear the voice of God to go and plant a church in another country? We were in Australia at the time and we were actively looking at where God was going to plant a church. That's important that we were actively seeking God. We weren't just sitting back, just wondering like God's word and directions is going to fall into our lap. No, we were leaning in. We were pressing in. We were youth pastors. We were serving the Lord. We were not just kind of sitting on our giftings waiting for them to come. No, we were using our giftings and we were in a place where we were still actively giving to God. But at the same time, we knew God was calling us to build a church and to start a church. And we were researching different, demographics of cities around Australia. And as we were doing that, at that time, we saw a tweet from my uncle about the Bay Area, just some facts about the Bay Area. And as we read that, we kind of laughed. Imagine if we had the guts, the audacity to not just start in a place of comfort, but to go into the unknown and begin. And it was amazing because people always want to hear that story, but they miss all the stories before that. Because that was a big move. But that wasn't the first big move. I remember when I sold my electrical business, I was an electrician. Do not email me to help you with electrical work. I have forgotten everything, okay? On purpose. I'm going to hang your ceiling fan. I'm going to run your downlights. We've got electricians here who can do that. Pay them, amen. But I remember when I stepped out of being an electrical tradesman into the ministry, I was really excited because over my career as an electrician, I had accumulated a whole lot of tools and supplies. And a fully kitted out van, and I was looking forward to the payday of selling that thing. And I remember the moment that I was looking to list it, God spoke to me about giving it. About giving it. I remember the arguments with God. No, God, that's not part of my plan. I'm going into the ministry. I'm going to serve you. I've already given you me. Give me something. But I remember the battle and the tension to heed the voice of God. It felt like a challenge. It felt challenging to give that thing away, to just gift it. It felt challenging even in the other side of it, the recipient, and how awkward that was, wanting to pay for it and me wanting to take the money. But no, God bless you. And I would love to say that instantly, everything just worked, you know. I don't know, honestly, what blessing I can connect to that moment. But what I can connect now is the pattern in my life that every time I've heard God, it sounds like a challenge. In fact, the same challenge I felt sowing that vehicle away was exactly the same feeling as stepping overseas to start a church, was the same feeling to launch out with a 5x5, and the same feeling to launch out with a 5x1, and the same feeling I'm feeling today. And so what God was teaching me, and if you want to lean in on how to hear God, stop looking for comfort, lean into challenge. God sounds like challenge. He sounds like, it sounds uncomfortable. It sounds like you're calling me to do something. You're calling me to lean in. You're calling me to challenge. And that's what the voice of God sounds like. It looks, God's looking for people who will pursue his calling with a spare no expense attitude. Because spare no expense means to go all in. To spare no expense means I'm not going to play it safe. To spare no expense means I'm taking my shot with everything that I have. I'm not sparing. I'm not holding anything back. Now, in one sense, this may seem like a brash or even overly bold approach to going all in, to pursuing God. However, what I need to remind you is if we put this idea, spare no expense, in the realm of farming, we would see that the principle holds true. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul illuminates, he says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." There is a connection with the way that we reach out and the way that we approach God, our commitment to God, our serving God, and the way that God works in and through our life. Approaching the purpose of God with a spare no expense attitude ultimately reveals a great expectation around what's coming next. To know what's coming next. To hold back means you're unsure. It's not that it's unknown. It's always unknown. But just because something's unknown doesn't mean you have to be unsure. I can be certain of God even though I'm not certain of what's ahead. I can be certain even in the unknown. And to spare no expense, it creates an attitude to know I'm not holding anything back because I'm not doubting. I'm going all in. In fact, I believe moms know this more than anybody. We're in a baby boom at Vibe Church. Did you know that? We're literally in the middle of a baby boom. I don't know what happened. During shutdown, but y'all didn't waste time. We have all over the globe, in all of our campuses, not just here in Palo Alto, all our locations, we've got babies being born, pregnant women everywhere. There is, and I know this because I'm talking to the men. And it's fascinating to me, every time there's an expecting parent, especially first-time parents. Any first-time parents here, first-time parents are hilarious. Because you're all the same. There's always a conversation where you've got this conversation, because I was speaking to some of the new dads and they're telling me the price of stroll, like they're telling me the price of things. Some of these guys are paying $1,000 for a stroller. Like $1,000. That's more expensive than my first car. I'm like, does it come with air conditioning? An engine?
And you have to push that. Yeah, I had to push my first car too. But, but they spent like so much money, and inevitably there is going to be a part in the process of purchasing and preparing for what's to come where the new dad is going to say, do we need that? It's a good question. It's a valid question. Like, do we need that? And it's usually when you're looking at like this crib that has got like, you know, like, you push the button and the, you know, do we need that? And inevitably what you're going to get in response is the wife who doesn't even talk just peels back and says, have you seen this? In here, something is growing. In a week, something is coming. So unless you want our baby to sleep on the floor, yes, we need that. Because a mother knows this is not the time to wonder. This is not the time to count costs. This is the time to stretch, because it may not be in you, but it's in me and it's coming out. It's coming. It's coming. There is a full expectation. Dad's still in denial. I don't know what's in there. But mom knows that it's coming. It's the full expectation. It's the full expectation. So why would I hold anything back now? Why would I know what we're gonna spare no expense? There's a lot of things we count the cost of. We count the cost of all kinds of things. We count the cost of a vacation and determine whether or not we'll go. We count the cost of a dinner out or a pair of jeans and scale accordingly. However, something I have learned from expecting mothers is that while you certainly count the cost of some things, there are times and moments and instances where you've got to more importantly count the cost of not doing something. So let me explain this, because I learned this not just from what expecting mothers do naturally, but I learned this from some of my investor friends and entrepreneurial mindsets, that you can get busy counting the cost and talk yourself out of something, but to approach it from a reverse angle and to count the cost of not doing something, or what am I going to miss out on? What am I not going to capitalize on? What am I going to see years past and regret the fact that I didn't take that cost? Because I got to count the cost of not. Got to count the cost of not. Get so stuck in your limited faith counting the costs and, I can't, it's a stretch, that's uncomfortable. But what if you just count the cost of not? Well, what does that mean if I don't? What if that mean if I stay stuck another year? And I still resist, and I still hesitate, and I still don't move. Maybe I won't see it immediately, but in years from now, will I regret the fact that I didn't just go all in for God? I didn't spare no expense. I ran after God with everything that I had in my means possible. That's what it means to count the cost of not, to spare no expense. And when you consider all that God has done in the last 9 years, it should only serve to indicate what God has in store for the next decade for us as a church. This should not only produce an incredible faith, but transpire into a spare no expense attitude when it comes to stepping out for God. So I'm truly excited to reveal to you what could frame the next decade and beyond, because we honestly have a historic opportunity before us, one that will require us to move into a whole new level of faith. And what I'm about to reveal to you will be our singular vision element for this year. It's going to be our singular vision element. I don't have a slew of vision elements this year, multiple level elements. I got one element, and it's going to take all of us as a global church to do it. All of us together, every family member, every individual, every child, every person considering, how am I a part of building the house and stretching towards the vision? And I want to share with you the vision, but before I do, no, I'm kidding. I want to inform you that the very reason we began our vision series early is because we as a church have an opportunity to purchase our very first permanent church building in the history of our church. This is what's before us. And I got to tell you some things about it. I'm excited. You see, the people who are standing and applauding are the people who have for 9 years been bumping in and bumping out and setting up. And I love you if you're new today, but you walked in and you're like, oh, this is nice. But they've been like setting atmospheres and preparing and on security details and all kinds of things for 9 years, 9 years. Sit down for a second. I got stuff to share because I don't know if you'll be clapping in a minute. I'm glad you're enthusiastic now. But let me give you a picture of what this means, because this ain't any old building. We've got a kind of building that we're going for here at Vive Church. And I got to tell you, over the years, over the last few years, we've had ample opportunity to buy buildings, but all of the buildings don't fit any of the vision letter that we have written. They're buildings out in the back lot, boondock area of whatever, where you don't want to leave your kids, let alone your vehicle, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to leave anything. So, and that just doesn't align for what God has called us to. So what we have before us is an opportunity to purchase an 80,000 square foot building, purpose built for the church, with a 2,000 seat auditorium located right in the middle of Palo Alto Mountain View. Now this is a major move. You need to listen. This is a major move forward, not just for Palo Alto campus. I'm speaking to the whole global church right now. This is a major move forward for all of us, because this will become the global headquarters for ministry, training, equipping, church planning. This will be the headquarters for what God does around the globe, and all of us begin to benefit as a result. This will become our first significant real estate asset as a church that we'll be able to leverage in years to come to begin to see buildings purchased all over the world. Every business person knows exactly what I'm talking about. And this is not just any building. This is the kind of building that, as I mentioned, we wrote about in our vision letter, situated in a place of prominence, like a city on a hill, impossible to ignore. Now, allow me to illuminate what this faith opportunity looks like exactly. I'm glad you applauded before. We're talking about an 80,000 square foot building that has a purchase price of $32 million. Not standing now. $32 million. Of this $32 million, we require a $12 million down payment, which presents us with a significant faith gap. In fact, let me be real blunt and straight up with you. As a church, we've been over the years building our account called Project Vive, anticipating this very opportunity, anticipating the moment that when we are presented with an opportunity, we're going to be as well positioned as we possibly can to strike. And currently, we have $4 million saved specifically for this. That means to reach a down payment of $12 million, we need another $8 million. In 45 days. Cash. I don't know how else I can emphasize the gap. Why are you clapping? It's a gap. It's an incredible moment and opportunity. At the same time, there is this gaping void of how, God? How is this even possible? It's a big gap. To be honest with you, we've, by faith, signed a contract that requires us having the finances in place in 45 days, or this building will be sold to a developer. In other words, At this point, the building is ours to lose and the kingdom's to lose. It's actually purpose built for a church. And so it's an opportunity that, not just for Vibe, but I believe for the kingdom to do something historic. Yes. And not let kingdom territory become high-rise office suites. As cool as they are, they don't serve any eternal purpose like the house of God, the place of God's presence, an altar, a place where lives are transformed, where people are equipped, set in their calling and sent out on mission to mobilize the saints. And this is an opportunity for us as a church to do something miraculous, to be a part of God's plan, but it's going to require us to spare no expense, to not look at what I could do or might do, but to say, God, everything I can, this is the moment. This is the moment. I'm appealing to families. I'm appealing to grandparents. I'm appealing to businessmen, business leaders, business women. I'm appealing to the church in the Silicon Valley and beyond, the globe. That wherever you find yourself today hearing this, this is the call to action to partner by faith and stretch. This is different than anything we've ever done before. This is not like a 12-month commitment and I'm going to hope that something happens. This is like, God, what can we do right now? What stocks have I been sitting on? What assets have we, what have we? And let me tell you what makes this building miraculous is that it's already zoned for the church. I don't expect anybody to get overly excited about that because you're not having to fight with the city who is a secular city about how much they don't want any more churches. They look at the roster of churches in the Bay Area, don't consider how fruitful or how well they're doing or how active they are. It doesn't matter if they're 4,000 years old and they were here when the orchards were. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, there are too many churches. We don't want churches. We want tech. And so for it to already be zoned for the church is miraculous. For the fact that it's the location. We're trying not to give too much away. We're in less than half a mile from where we're standing right now. The location. Purpose built. And the fact that the timing, that maybe this isn't the most ideal timing because it's not in November. That would be cute, wouldn't it? That would just line up. God, that was amazing. Maybe it's not timing for you because you're like, I just bought a house, Pastor. Maybe it's not the ideal timing in that way, but I think the timing's amazing because we actually intercepted a deal. Yes, yes, yes. The owner was selling it to a developer to develop it into high rise, but the saints came in and we snuck in there with a foot in the door and said, hold up, don't sell this. Don't sell this, just we'll buy it. How are you gonna buy it? By faith. By faith, by faith, by sacrifice, by the people of God being ignited in their hearts and saying, yeah, I'm not going to spare any expense. If this is the moment, this is generational. This is the moment where we don't just count the cost of what I've got, but we say, what's the cost of not doing this? This is the kind of move that sets up generations. This is the kind of move that sets up the future. I'm thinking about your kids and their kids. I'm thinking about the youth pastors and the young people that'll be raised up in this house. I'm talking about the churches that will be launched out of this place. I'm talking about a global movement of God because there is a house. It's very difficult to be influential in a city when you don't have resident in the city, when you don't have real estate in the city. So what am I asking? As a global lead pastor, I'm calling us as a faith community to respond to this call and to action by faith, by stretching financially and giving to this historic opportunity. As I said, we don't have a 12-month timeline. We have pretty much to the end of August, roughly, to present the fact, not that we might, but that we can. Can't even be, we might get there, that we're doing this. So I'm wondering what, in this moment, God is asking of you. For some, that might That might look like going all in with your savings. For some, there's so many different ways God can move. Might be accessing an inheritance, a family trust, drawing on your 401k. For some, it might mean transferring stock or crypto. For some, it might mean liquidating some assets, selling a property or a possession. For some of you, it might be hearing this and you might be desiring to partner significantly, but simply don't have the means. Well, maybe you have a contact. Maybe you have an employer. Maybe you have a family. Maybe you have someone who owes you money. I don't know what it looks like, but I do know it might seem a little scrappy. In fact, that doesn't sound very spiritual, but that's the word God gave me. It's going to get scrappy. I wish the word of God, this is going to be neat. But I feel it's going to be scrappy. The same way that the moment you stepped out to buy your first home, you looked at the down payment and said, that would never happen. But there's a bug in your life where you thought, no, but I want to buy a home. And then you began to just call up dad or your uncle or look for a grant. You just began to get scrappy. You pulled out of your 401k. You did everything you could. And before you knew it, it was scrappy, but you got enough together to say, let's buy it. This is the moment as the church, we're going to get scrappy with every way possible to step into the promise of God by faith. It doesn't need to look neat. It just needs to look full of faith. It needs to look with sparing, no expense. If I can find more, I'm going to give it to God. It's sparing, no expense. I want you to do something. Can you hand these out? Hand these out real quick. At every location, the team are handing out these cards. These cards are our commitment cards. You're going to get one of these in your hand, pass it down the aisle. This is our vision offering. I want you to consider something right now. I've just made it as plain and as blunt as I possibly can. The mission that's ahead of us, the opportunity that's ahead of us. We need $8 million, church. $8 million to step into a building. And so I want you to right now, right where you are, by faith consider, by filling out this card, what you are going to commit to in the next 45 days. This needs to be full of faith, but also sober, to not just make up a number, but to say, I, by faith, believe I could do this. If you don't have a card, lift your hand. We'll get one to you. And what's also exciting, we do this every time. There's also a big blank box for what you're believing for personally. I always know the Bible says, you build my house, I will build yours. That's what God promises. That if you're believing for a miracle, go ahead and put that on there as well. Last year, when Kira and I stretched by faith, I encouraged everyone to fill out what you're believing for. My wife said, what are we believing for? I said, the vision, I just announced it. She said, no, you said God can both. So we stretched by faith and God has done some miracles in our life. And I want to encourage you, do not miss the opportunity to partner with the church and see God partner in your life as well. We're going to do something in a moment. We're going to fill these out. You can begin to fill these out. You can go to vivechurch.org/vision as well if you prefer digital versions. If you write in hieroglyphics, we'd prefer you to do that so we can read. And the reason we're trying to move today and start today is because we have a very tight timeline. We need to know, are we in the ballpark? Are the people of God able to move and get close? So we need you to, by faith, put down at least a commitment to what you're aiming at. And in a moment, once we've filled that out, at every location, we're going to have our pastoral team standing along the front where you can bring that, you can put that in the bucket, and we're going to partner with you in prayer and come into agreement that we're going to say yes and amen. By faith, God, you're going to do this. It's so uncertain how, but I'm lending my faith to believe that God will. I know God is able. I know God can. Here's what I'm saying. God is in this. I can say that without any doubt. God is in this. My question, are you? Are you in what God's doing? Are you saying, God, if you're in it, I'm in it. God, if you're doing it, I'm doing it. I'm not going to spare any expense wondering if God can and risk being fooled. No, I'm going to go all in for God, holding nothing back, so there's no regrets at the end of the day of I've counted the cost of not. I've counted the cost, I've spared no expense. So what are you doing by faith? By faith. by faith. If you need a pen, wave your hand, because we're going to move by faith. I don't know how more blunt I can be, but we are literally going to have our accounting team calculate this evening where we're at to see are we on track here, church, to do something miraculous. This is exciting. It's terrifying. It's all of these things in one, but this is so great to be in the very purpose of heaven and the vision moment where we're counting the cost of not. This opportunity is so unique, so heavenly, and so supernatural. But I believe that God is going to move. I'm speaking to Chicago and Austin and Honolulu, Morgan Hill, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose. All these campuses that exist because Palo Alto has sown out and sown and sown and sown and exist today because of the faithful giving of people in this location. What an honor it would be for you to partner with Palo Alto today and as a global church, step into a permanence. To step into a permanence. So as you fill that out, I'm going to invite my pastoral team to come up the front here. I want my wife to come up. I'm going to pray in just a moment. In fact, let me pray right now. God, I thank you that you are moving upon the hearts of your church. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in incredible ways right now. God, I pray that you would stir our hearts towards faith and generosity, two attributes of the kingdom. God, I'm so thankful that stingy and sparingly are not attributes of a kingdom person. Faith and generosity are the attributes of the kingdom person. So God, right now, I pray that you would illuminate to them the faith moves, the faith moves. To those online right now who may have never or may never step into a physical location, but may be the answer to establishing pillars, cornerstones in the community, places that cannot be ignored, that stand out and stick out like a city on a hill. The house of God giving glory to God, speaking of his majesty and his wonder. The people would look and see how blessed are the people of God, how favored are the people of God, how full of faith are the people of God. God, would you stretch upon your saints right now in your mighty name? Would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to pray for you. Be aware that this is a holy moment right here. We don't get to do these moments that often. This is a holy moment where when you stretch by faith and you respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, this is not ignored. This is counted in heaven. I assure you of that. In fact, we see in the Bible, this is uncomfortable to say, but we see in the Bible that Jesus was watching as people brought their offerings. And what he was recognizing was faith. So don't get me wrong, all eyes of heaven are on this moment as the saints rise by faith. Faith is the commodity of heaven. Faith is what grabs the attention of heaven over your life. Hey, I hope you were blessed by that message. We release new content every single week here at Vive Church. And so if you don't want to miss any of it, I would encourage you, go ahead and subscribe. Also visit our website, vivechurch.org, to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the life of Vive Church. God bless you.